The Synthaholics. This is your host David Duncan, and with me is Aaron O'Brien.
Hey, what up?
How's it going, man?
Good. Just me and you again for
just
been
me
a while.
And you. It's been a while. Yeah, it seems like it has because we did that back to back with Kipley and Kipley.
Kipley sounds like an '80s TV show, like a investigator show.
It was like Kipley and Company, and then Kipley.
Yeah. It was fun though. We had a good time. Yeah, it's been a while. We've had a lot of guests, and obviously we've been talking a lot about Discovery. So we've been very busy.
And Discovery is going to tie into this episode a little bit too, even though we're talking about a Star Trek Voyager episode this week.
Yes, that's right.
We're on episode 4 of Star Trek Discovery on our Facebook group. One of our members, Kevin Yearwood, actually was asking if we thought Captain Ransom is like Lorca. And I was like, I don't remember Captain Ransom. I'll have to look back on those episodes. And we have, and that's what we're going to be talking about today.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Yearwood, for your recommendation. But we just before we get into this, we're going to, like Dave said, we're going to be talking about Star Trek Voyager episodes Equinox 1 and 2. But we're also going to talk about something else that's very important.
It's important to us. It's important to you, or it should be important to you. And hopefully, being informed Trekkies, like I'm sure everyone is who listens to the show and they're up with, you know, science or technology, net neutrality, it's come under threat. When we were trying to eat turkey, some guy named Pi. Some guy named Pi. And I never liked Pi. I thought it was too squishy. This guy's also too squishy between his ears. But some guy named Pi wants to destroy the internet for the entire United States as we know it. And it's called like the Internet Freedom Act or some stupid thing that's got freedom in the middle of it. The only freedom this gives is to telecommunications companies to ream us up the ass for charging us for, you know, oh, look, you know, here's your Google bundle. Here's your Netflix bundle. Here's your, you know, Facebook bundle. Here's your Twitter bundle. You got to add all these add-ons to get to the internet to make it work like it always had before. You're going to have to pay for extra if net neutrality goes away.
Yeah, and they've done this before more than once. And every time we've gotten enough citizen action to shut this down. But I'm not quite sure where this is going to stand today because it seems like we've got a large segment of the population that doesn't really want to engage with this or see it how it really is.
And the worst part about it is they're using our words against us, like they're saying that this act is going to make the internet better. It's not. It's going to make more money for the telecommunications company. And for the people who work with the telecommunications company and the government and lobby, it's only going to make a couple people more rich, and it's going to make the rest of us more poor, and our internet's going to work worse if this new bill goes into effect.
Yeah, so definitely look into it if you're not really aware of it. And after you have read up on these issues, I would highly suggest that you call your congressman or congresswoman, talk to your senator, you know, write to them, call their office. A lot of times you're just talking to a representative, like a, not a secretary, but a staff member, and just give them what your peace of mind, what you think, what they need to do, because that's what will change a vote on these issues.
And if you don't live in America, pretend like you do, because because really, if this country puts something like this forward, who's going to stop other countries? Like, hey, look what America did. They are making so much more money off the internet. Like it could spiral out. The whole world could come under this terrible thing because of a guy named Pi.
Yeah, who knew that Pi could bite back?
I know. It's very discouraging. And I never liked Pi anyway. I like some pie.
I like some pie, but I'm not like all pie. But yeah, this is very sad that this has to keep on showing up. Don't understand.
It feels like once every every couple months, like net neutrality comes under attack, and all it is like, you know, I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, independent, you know, European, Canadian, it doesn't matter. This is important for everybody. The entire world needs to take note of this. This is something that needs to stop.
Yeah, I'm hoping it will. I'm hoping that they'll stop these people in their tracks. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of big – I mean, I know people are pushing back at it, but there hasn't been a lot of people giving me a succinct argument for it. Everything I've read seems to be just pandering to these larger telecommunication companies. So,
and they could control the way information flows. They could block the truth, you know, take internet sites down. Like all these sites right now that are up trying to fight for net neutrality. Like if they get it taken away, these sites could go away forever. And like real truth and real freedom on the internet could go away because it'll only be the truth of AT&T or only the truth of Verizon or only the truth of Spectrum or Time Warner or whoever.
Yeah, and if you want to get into more of that fake news stuff, you know, like who knows what people could concoct with that.
Getting rid of net neutrality gives way too much power to people who already have way too much power.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and it'll hurt little guys like us. You know, we're a tiny website. We're a little Star Trek podcast. I mean, things might cost more for us in the long run if, you know, being able to host things and getting on the fast lane to the stuff that we pay for so our stuff will work right. I mean, you know, managing our website, you know, we'll probably get put on a slow lane because we're nobody sent the holics. You know, it's really a shame.
It is, and I hope this does get stopped. And like you said, it seems like every once in a while this type of bill shows up. And it has to be stopped. It has to be stopped. If we enjoy our life with the internet, which I know most people do, if you want this quality of life to continue with the internet and your use of the internet, because it's going to change drastically.
And basically that just means you'll be paying a whole lot more. And the information will probably change because they'll be going by the narrative of X telecommunications company.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, you're not here for depressing news. Let's get on to Star Trek news. It's just something that's big, it's important, and I thought it was too big for us not to mention as a sign of the times.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Well, on to Star Trek Voyager Equinox. So this is a two-parter, and the first part, Star Trek Equinox, came out here on May 26, 1999, and we're starting at Season 5, Episode 26. So we start in the very beginning. We're aboard the USS Equinox, and the bridge comes under attack by these floating boogers.
Boogers from the third dimension.
Yeah, so they're coming. These portals open up. And they're, you know, obviously they're shooting at these flying boogers, and
if they touch someone for just a second, they turn into a corpse.
That's right,
like a wrinkly raisiny corpse.
Yeah, he chose poorly. yeah.
So, oh, it's very much like that, actually.
Yeah, from Indiana Jones: Last Crusade.
Yes, sir.
Drinking out of the wrong grail. Anyway, so. Yeah, like you said, these they become these dried up corpses, and then we get a call from the captain. Captain Ransom calls for help, and he sends out the SOS. And then we come to the next scene where Voyager, with Janeway and 7-9, are looking at this emergency transmission in the astrometric lab, and. Obviously, they're a little shocked that they're getting a call from a Federation ship.
Yeah, I was waiting. Remember the episode with Andy Dick in it? Whenever Seven's like, hey, look, we found a ship. And they're like, so? I was waiting for that to happen again. So?
Well, meh. We've only been out here for 5 years. Meh. So they go in to intercept and save them. And they're only like 3 light years away. so they can get there pretty quickly. So by the time they get to the Equinox location, they're basically just dead in the water. They can see that the shields are – something's going on with their shields. I think Neelix even mentions it, like, what's going on with their shields?
That looks weird.
Yeah, exactly. And when Janeway calls over, Ransom tells him to extend Voyager shields around the Equinox, and she does that. And that basically sustains the Equinox so they're not destroyed.
And everyone just passes out as soon as that happens for no reason. Well,
I think they've been exhausted for quite a while.
I still think they get so much adrenaline that they're like, oh. Especially for, they're getting ready to turn on Voyager. I feel like Janeway should have asked more questions. She's like, why? There's nothing attacking you.
Well, but, Ransom, he's like, there's no time to, to get into it. Just do it. So, what was I going to say?
Janeway should have been much more dubious from the get-go after that, though.
Janeway's never dubious at the get-go. That's the problem with Janeway. She's always like, oh, a friend. It's like, that's not a friend. Every episode.
You got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me. So it'd be great if Woody from Toy Story was on the Equinox. There's a snake in my boot. Anyways.
There's a ransom in my boot.
There's a flying booger on my ship.
It turned me into a raisin. Good thing I'm a toy. I'm immune to that stuff.
I'm immune to raisining. So it'd be great. Remember the commercials for California raisins?
Yeah, I remember. There was like a TV movie about the California raisins.
Yeah, that was a weird thing too. But it'd be great. The boogers touched them, and they turned to California raisins.
And they started playing saxophone.
And they start doing Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Heard It Through the Grapevine. I begged my parents to watch that movie because I loved raisins.
And they said no.
No, that we watched it, and I don't know why. It's such a terrible movie.
It probably is. So when they extend the shields around Equinox, they notice that there's this sound. Like a whine coming through or echoing coming through their ship. And I guess they're seeing some interspatial openings on different decks. But then when they extend the shields, just all those just seem to stop. And whatever was going on, the Equinox stops as well. They beam over to the Equinox to save people. Obviously, Chakotay, Paris go to the chief engineers and they can't figure out their engines. Their engines are all freaking weird. They have some weird configurations.
Why you got a blender hooked up to this thing?
It's a Cuisinart. Or what was the Mr. Fusion?
Yeah.
From
Spaceballs.
Back to the Future.
Oh, I thought it was Mr. I thought everything was Mr. something.
That was Mr. Radar.
Mr. Radar. Mr. Coffee.
Yeah, Mr. Coffee, Mr. Radar. So there was one of the crew members. They find a corpse down in engineering. One of the engineering lady, she's buried in a bunch of steel, and Chakotay can just amazingly lift steel with no problem.
He is a strong Native American man who is far away from the boners of his people.
He would have to be extremely strong. Like, he'd have to be shot up with, like, a ton of, like, adrenaline to move that shit. And then there was another crewman that's basically buried. His legs have been trapped pinned under this giant piece of metal. He can't even feel his legs.
And for Supernatural fans, he's the Vampire Alpha.
Is he really?
Yeah, it was hilarious. I was watching this, and I'm like, oh, I know who he is. He's the Vampire Alpha in Supernatural.
Nice.
It's pretty good. It's funny. I've been watching Supernatural, so it's funny like going back and watching old shows. And like, oh, look, this actor was in Supernatural, too. And Supernatural actually has some Star Trek references randomly every now and then.
I would believe so. And I would believe there's probably a ton of like actors like this guy who's trapped in the metal there.
You can't see him at first, but his voice is super distinctive. He's also in The Magicians, by the way, if you watch The Magicians on Sci-Fi.
Interesting. Janeway goes with Tuvok, and they go to the bridge, and that's where Captain Ransom is.
Taking a nap on the bridge.
Yeah, he's taking a nap in his captain's chair. But they find out that they were taken into the Delta Quadrant by the caretaker, just like Voyager, which that seems very interesting. And then all of a sudden, it's not explored anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He does mention that because she's like, oh, the Caretaker took us back. And I'm like, I really want to rewatch Caretaker now. Because I feel like, why would, if the Caretaker, like, the reason he was looking for genetic compatibility, why would he reach for two Federation starships, just hoping there's a different race on it?
I don't know, but I think that could have been, like, explored a little bit more. I know there probably wasn't any room in the script for this, but, I mean, it seemed like that's a pretty interesting point to get into, but they just kind of like, yeah, we got there the same way, so.
It's a very strange plot point. I really wish they would have gone into it more. But like Voyager, they'll bring up things and never bring them back up ever again.
Yeah, that's right. Which that's a problem at the end of this episode, which I'd like to get into, or these two episodes. So next we have the Voyager and the Equinox are going together, and they're at the Voyager's mess hall, and Captain Ransom performs like a ceremony commemorating the dead, and then he has the remaining people who are alive for Equinox, and then he thanks Janeway, and they kind of make their assignment duties of who's going to work with what. Like, these people are going to try to repair the ship and the engines, these people are going to try to, you know, they all got their own missions to do. And just as the whole thing's dismissed, we get
BLT, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. BLT. BLT. Oh man, I don't know if you ever want to call your girlfriend BLT. I'm just going to say that. Just
at least you're not calling her greasy cheesecake.
Oh, I mean. So,
Miss Butter.
Oh man, just seems rough. So B'Elanna Torres had a relationship 10 years ago with Ransom's first officer, Maxwell Burke, and he called her BLT as a
pet name.
Pet name.
That's weird.
I was just thinking, like, there's just too many jokes. I mean, is he talking just about her name, or is that a genitalia thing? Or
she did say it was her initials.
Oh, I know. Because I think Ensign Kim calls Tom Paris
Turkey Platter
or something.
I thought that was pretty good.
That was funny, but I mean, it was just like
Harry Kim. You did something right for once in your entire career.
There's not a lot of Harry Kim in this episode.
Thank goodness. But he, the one thing he did say was actually good. He called him. He was quick thinking and called Tom Paris Turkey Platter. Very well done.
So
teepee for my bunghole.
Teepee for my bunghole.
That's what I would have called him.
Next, we get the. We get Gilmore with Chakotay. She's the engineer for Equinox, and she's kind of remarking how it's nice to see Voyagers. Everything's intact, like bulkheads aren't missing and stuff like that.
But she gets weird PTSD from a turbo lift.
Yeah, so she has like some kind of claustrophobia. So the Gilmore girl.
Yeah.
So. The original Gilmore girl. That's kind of an introduction to her character. We're in the astrometric lab, and Seven's there with Tuvok and Maxwell Burke, and they're talking to Captain Janeway and Ransom, and they're talking about the different spots of these shields on both vessels, and that they're being attacked, and it seems like their shields are slowly being weakened by like 3%. So by the time that's all done, they said they have like 2 days to basically get this, get some kind of solution to this alien attack. And so there's a lot of questions about the aliens and where they came into all that. And what happened is Ransom and the Equinox crew, made contact with a race, and that race would call to this, these creatures, the booger creatures.
It looks like one of those things that if you turn it, it sounds like it rains, but it's a lot shorter. And one of those rain sticks, but it's like shorter.
Oh, was that what they were?
That's what it kind of looked like.
But anyway, they called to those creatures, and they didn't really get into that right then, did they? Janeway and Ransom talks about the Prime Directive. And they say how many times she's violated it. And she says she's bent it on occasion. and that Ransom's kind of noncommittal about what he's done, but he said kind of, he echoes, yeah, I had to do sort of the same thing. Do you remember how many times Janeway's messed up the Prime Directive?
I don't know, but I feel like she's done a lot more than, I bent it. No, I'm pretty sure she's outright broken it at least like a dozen times by now, but I don't have an actual count. We'll have to do some research and like let you guys know later. But I'm fairly certain she's broken it a lot. And I remember, like, on my last watch through a Voyager, that she broke the Prime Directive whenever she felt like it. But if anyone else ever mentioned it, she'd be like, no, we can't do it because it wasn't my idea.
Right. Gotcha.
She's, like, terrible. That's one reason I really can't stand her, because she's like, only my ideas are good enough for breaking the Prime Directive. Nobody else's are. I'm like, oh, come on, Janeway.
Yeah, well, it does seem like that's most captain's prerogative thing to do.
But
well,
sure, like, these guys' ideas are way better than your idea, Janeway. Just yeah. FYI.
Yeah. Next we get Ransom finds Maxwell, his first officer, Burke, eating at the mess hall. And he basically says, don't get comfortable, and says that these people never understand. So we know that there's some kind of dirty work that's going on, and that they have to keep them out of the Equinox research lab as long as possible.
Can't let them look in our blender.
That's right.
We got boogers in there. They won't understand.
There's a lot of boogers in our... Why do you have so many boogers?
We milk them.
In your lab.
Yes.
Anyway, so.
For science.
The Equinox crewman that was rescued by 7 and 9 and Ensign Kim is a.
Vampire Alpha. Yeah, sorry.
Vampire Alpha. Or Noah Lessing. He's feeling better. He's up and walking, even though his feet were crushed by a giant piece of metal.
Good thing he didn't get crush syndrome.
That's.
Or they
that's
can fix true. It.
That's true. And they start. He's assigned to work with them to figure out the interspatial fissures that are opening, and they have to find ways to basically keep their shields going and keep the aliens out.
I think Janeway says something about they need to figure out how to trap them to make them more uncomfortable here, because the reason they don't stay long is because they're not really comfortable in their realm.
Yeah.
A regular realm. So they're like, hey, maybe we should trap him here to make him even more uncomfortable so they won't ever come back. And Ransom's like, I think we have something like that. We haven't been doing anything underhanded.
Yeah, he says we tried that and it didn't work so well, and you know that they had some information on in their lab, but their lab's flooded with some kind of radiation that they couldn't get into. And that's why the reason they can't get into their lab is their lab's been flooded for radiation for like days and days. Which is odd too. Why would a lab have all that radiation just isolated in the lab? You know,
those boogers just radiate some kind of radiation. I tell you,
but they don't even know that the boogers are in there yet. And I would be like, why is your lab completely irradiated? Doesn't make any sense.
We're working up a, you know, we're trying to build up resistance to it.
That's right. Slowly. Like Iocane.
Exactly.
So Ransom wants to keep the both ships going because he thinks that's obviously a better thing to do.
Yeah, so they're talking about scuttling the Equinox because it's, you know, it's basically a bucket of bolts and falling apart. And they're both captains, so Janeway looked up the regulation on how to deal with a situation when there's only two captains involved. And she's like, well, this regulation, you know, 93.2 subsections paragraph C-D is like, well, if the captain with a better ship gets to make the call. The ship that's in better working order gets to make the call.
Right.
So basically it's like, yeah, you get to leave your ship behind. Go grab your stuff. Go come back.
That's right.
We're going to just integrate the crews. Chakotay, you're third officer now.
Yeah, and
thank goodness. Thank goodness.
And Burke, we don't even know what we're going to do with you yet. But Burke decides he's going to go down to engineering, and he uses
you get to be the fourth officer. You get to cuddle with Chakotay in his bed.
That's right.
And wishing you were BLT because Chakotay wanted some BLT himself.
Well, anyways, Burke goes to, talking about BLT, goes to engineering, and he starts downloading information on the multiphasic force field onto his tricorder. Blonde Taurus enters the engineering, sees him, and he kind of just distracts her and says, hey, I want to take you to dinner.
Shows a little chest hair.
Yeah, that's right. Like, and she's sort of just like, hey, look, you know, that was a long time ago.
I'm with Tom now. He likes things that go fast.
Warp 11?
Warp 11 and 10 and How Fast the Orgasm, apparently.
That's right. So, but, you know, they kind of work it together to say, hey, let's just do a
friendly dinner. It could be friends. We don't have to have sex afterwards unless you want to.
I mean, if you want to show me your BLT, that's okay, but...
Your double BLT. That's what we learned about Klingons from Discovery, right?
That's right. But then he slyly closes his tricorder, and he shuts off everything that he downloads so that B'Elanna wouldn't even know that what he did. But next we see that Janeway has a meeting with Tuvok and Seven, and that there is they find that the science lab is still flooded with their radiation, and it should have dissipated, but it hasn't yet. And the real issue is that they're finding that they're doing this intentionally. They're flooding their lab so nobody can go into it. So they decide to send a doctor over because he's the one person that will not be affected by radiation.
But Seven beams over somewhere else too, though. Not into the lab.
Yeah, I think she goes to engineering. But so the doctor goes over and he has a... is common. Here's the other thing is I thought it was weird. The doctor's walking around with a
mobile emitter.
Mobile emitter, but he also had the flashlight thing on his arm.
Why does he need a flashlight? I thought that was weird, too. Like, he's a hologram.
He really doesn't need to see, per se. So it's kind of weird. Anyways, I didn't get that part. That was kind of an odd choice.
We all know how good Voyager is with its science.
Well, or just common sense. So the doctor finds remains of those alien boogers, and he goes through and he sees that basically...
What the deuce?
They're taking these alien biological material, and they're somehow using that to boost their warp engine power. And I guess they contain their biological matter contains some kind of high antimatter content. Which, that does make a lot of sense how they could enter into our
realm and like
realm and not explode. So
I guess that's why when they touch things, they just shrivel up and die. Although, that's not how antimatter works. Antimatter just makes boom when it touches regular matter.
But so he basically finds out that the Equinox crew was intentionally killing the aliens to power their warp drive. So Ransom and Burke are walking along the corridor. They're making preparations to steal... Voyager's shield emitter, and which is even crazy just to talk about that. But while they're walking down the hallway, security teams start walking towards them. They decide to slyly walk the other way, and that's when they're met with Tuvok.
Tuvok.
So the security team surrounds them, and they brings them to Janeway. And Janeway's basically confronts Ransom with everything that he's done. And he's like, we know what you're doing now, that you're killing these aliens just to power your warp drive. And the one thing we didn't mention is that Equinox is an exploration ship, but it's not a deep space exploration ship, and it doesn't have high warp capability. So I believe they said the most it can go is warp 8. But because it's damaged, it only goes like
warp six.
Yeah, so it's not a very fast ship. And it's a very small ship at that, too.
It's smaller than Voyager, and Voyager's already a pretty small ship compared to, you know, your Enterprise-D.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, Voyager's much smaller, too. But anyway, so Ransom doesn't deny anything, but he was like, you know, I have to preserve the life of my crew. And Janeway's like, nope. Not that way. And she basically puts the whole Equinox crew into their quarters. Basically, they can't leave. So
basically, you know, locked under guard. But while the doctor's over there, he activates their doctor.
Strangely enough.
Because he needs help for whatever reason. Their doctor's had his ethical subroutines erased and conveniently smashes the mobile emitter once he finds out what it does. Transfers himself into the mobile emitter, transfers the doctor into the Equinox, and then goes does a rescue mission on his crew on That's Voyager.
Right. And so we get the old switcheroo on the doctors, which I guess it does make sense that Equinox was missing their doctor, but I wonder if the caretaker, you know, just kills doctors.
He's very anti-doctor.
Right.
Doctors are always in the wrong place at the wrong time on Voyager. I mean, Voyager's Dr. Dai, Equinox Dr. Dai, Kes, who was studying to be, you know, a doctor, she gets kicked out.
Delta Quadrant is hard on doctors, for sure. Wonder how Dr. Strange would do in the Delta Quadrant.
Dr. Strange would rip it apart.
That'd be awesome.
I would love to see Dr. Strange like, you're a Kazon? Oh, not anymore. I would love to see Dr. Strange just fucking up the Delta Quadrant. That would be epic.
It's like, would be pretty fun.
Oh, man. Come on. Marvel, make this crossover happen. The Dr. Strange Voyager crossover.
That's right. Real quickly, Ransom does talk about his first encounters with the aliens, with the Equinox, and he says that they were on this, they were made contact with the Ankari race, and they had this device that would call these spirits of good fortune. And when that's when they met the alien boogers for the first time. And they discovered after scanning that they had that high antimatter content, and they could use that to power their speed of their ship on the Equinox. And Ransom keeps on saying that he was left with no choice. And
had no choice. When we invited it on the ship, it just died. So we just used it because why waste it? We couldn't find any udders to milk the other ones. So we just killed those two.
Did you ever milk a booger?
You can milk anything with nipples.
Oh, gosh. That's so gross. Anyways, so the Equinox crew is locked up on Voyager. But when the Equinox doctor, switcheroo happens, he pretends to be the doctor and goes to the where the crew is being held. And he says, the crew might have a virus, and I have to inoculate them. And so the guards let them in, and he opens the box, and there's a bunch of phasers in there. So
I love how medical docs, boxes and phaser boxes can double as each other's.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. So
lunchbox for all.
It'd be funny if it was a lunchbox. It was a Voyager lunchbox.
Standard issue Voyager lunchbox.
So they get their phasers and everything. So they go into action and they start doing their jailbreak. At the same time, the astrometric lab.
I actually would have loved it if they would have started vaporizing Voyager crew instead of just stunning them. Like, just see how bad these people were.
Yeah, you know, because they pretty much are pretty bad, but they just keep on, like, getting worse and worse. And it's like they should have just, like, took them out while they had the chance and just stole Voyager from them.
That would have made a lot more sense than what they do. A lot more sense, actually.
Yeah. So anyways, and the astrometric lab, Tuvok and Torres are activating their shield grid, but then they find that nothing happens and they can't figure out what's going wrong with it. And then they found that Burke was in engineering. He stole the field generator. So they just
beamed it out.
Yeah, they just stole it right under their nose. And I guess this was some kind of trick that he did before. I'm not quite sure how that works.
It's how BLT and him used to flirt back in the day with computer programs.
That's right. Like,
I can write a better computer program than you. No, you can't. You can't go to a better Google than me. I'm sorry.
And then, so on the bridge, they basically, Kim says that there's a phaser fire and that Janeway orders, obviously, a security deck to be sealed off. But while they're doing that, they're having, obviously, the problems with their shields are down and they have to take care of.
The booger monster, so they're distracted.
The booger monster's coming in. Yes, exactly. While that's all happening, the crew of the Equinox goes back over to the Equinox. They beam over.
They sedate Seven. They get away while Voyager's shooting at these creatures coming through the spatial field buttholes. And one of them swoops at Janeway. To be continued.
Which has got to be, like, the worst be continued graphic I've ever seen. I mean,
it's like she's trying to fall over in slow motion, but they didn't film it in the rate that slow motion works very well at. So they just kind of, like, they slowed down, like, 24 frames a second, which doesn't look good.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you think about Best of Both Worlds, you know, kind of thing in the two-parter. And it was such a great ending to it. And I think they were trying to go for this, and it just doesn't quite work.
Not at all.
Yeah, I just it's It could have been, but the directing or however they did that last part of the graphics just is not compelling. You know, like, it just seems a little cheesy.
It was. But when episode 2 picks back up, Chakotay pushes her. I guess he pushes out Oishi. She doesn't get touched, but he gets touched, and he's totally fine. He's taken to sick bay. He's not a shroom. He's not a shrew. He's not a raisin. His face.
It's a mushroom.
He just has a couple scars on his face. I feel like Janeway got touched a little bit too, but they're fine.
Yeah, well, the doctor can heal them. The evil doctor.
No, but they're both fine. Like. Every single person that we saw got touched by them earlier instantly turned to raisins. But Chakotay, with his Indian self, he can't be bothered to be turned into a complete raisin.
No, not a California raisin.
This is a huge. They shouldn't have had him tied. It's so. Why? If you're going to kill Chakotay, kill Chakotay. Don't pretend to.
Well,
kill Janeway. Don't pretend to. Just let her die. just have them be raisins. Have them have to figure out who's captain next.
California raisins commanding. Have like sunglasses.
Heard it through the grapevine.
That's their two commanding officers.
Like we can't do anything for them. We'll just Neelix turn them into a meal.
Cutting up Janeway as a giant raisin.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, she's been a giant salamander. Why not be a giant raisin?
Great. I'd love to see this. Make this happen, science. Anyway, so this is Equinox Part 2, Season 6, Episode 1, and this first aired September 22nd, 1999. So this is the beginning of the next season. And like you said, Chakotay pushes Janeway out of the way, and then Janeway calls for tactical control, and she uses deflector pulse to reinforce these shields. Which just seems like, and it stops the aliens from coming in. Which, like, why didn't they do that in the beginning? I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense.
There's always like a cop out with Voyager. It's like, oh, well.
Why didn't they do that in the very beginning?
We'll do this other thing.
And, you know, they're all standing like, oh, here comes the aliens. Just turn on the deflector pulse.
Turn on the backup.
Anyways. So after they're not under attack. They know that the Equinox is taken off, and Janeway is going through the corridors of Voyager and comes across one of the aliens, and he's kind of just like she's like staring down at it, this booger on her nice carpeted floor.
She kicks it.
She just doesn't kick it.
She should have, though.
It would have been funny. Yeah. Stop kicking that.
And then she's like, oh, crap, this booger's there's slimer on my shoe.
Okay, so the doctor explains that he was taken hostage by the Equinox, and he deactivated himself to escape. That's why his mobile emitter was just floating around.
Just in the hallway, hanging out.
And so he treats Chakotay, and Tom Paris has been working, meanwhile, trying to get everybody back to it. And there's everybody's laying around with their quilted bank blankets on the floor.
Voyager's got a ridiculously tiny, tiny medical bay, like three or four beds tops.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Meanwhile, on the Equinox, we didn't mention that 7 of 9 got kind of stunned while she was working, and now she's brought to Captain Ransom, and he wants her to encrypt their engine codes because she encrypted all that for some reason.
Just in case.
Which wasn't really explained too well.
Just in case there was a coup, she was like, I'm going to do this just in case. It's efficient to waste time.
So she was like, I'm not going to do any of that stuff. And then then they bring on the Voyager's doctor, and he basically just deletes his ethical program and tells the doctor to pull all the 7 of 9's information off her brain.
This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Even with his ethical subroutines dismantled, they didn't say they deleted his personality. They didn't say they deleted every knowledge he had of 7, because they couldn't have, because they needed that knowledge intact for him to extract the information. Just because his ethical subroutines have been tampered with, why all of a sudden would he all go evil unless he wanted to do?
I don't know. He's under command of maybe it's because his commands are under whoever the captain is, and he has to listen to them.
But his ethical subroutines have been deleted. He doesn't have to listen to shit.
I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I mean, it's just like, you know, he knows her. Like, just because he's, you know, if he can make decisions without weighing ethics, that shouldn't change how he feels towards Seven, why he would listen to Ransom at all. Like, they didn't explain it. That's not, deleting his ethical subroutines is not enough for this guy who spent years with Seven, who adores her, who is secretly in love with her, to all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, I'll tamper with her head just because I was told to.
Yeah, right.
It just blows me away.
Because 709 encrypted those engines, they can't go into their warp because they're planning with this enhanced warp drive that they get back to Earth within several months. But the ship can't do it because of what 709's done. So they decide that they're going to hide out at some other planet. I guess it has some kind of sciencey thing to keep them hidden from them being seen. But on Voyager, they come up with a way to communicate with the life forms, and if they drop the shields around the bridge, they could send a message. When they go there, the alien appears to understand what Kim's saying, but he just screams at Kim.
Almost sexily. Like, he gives Kim the eyes before he turns around and leaves.
Yeah, and then he just disappears, and they said, well, apparently he understood something, but he didn't want to respond, and nothing else came from it. But the next thing, Janeway wants to pursue the Equinox, and Chakotay's like, really, we should just try to find out what's going on with these aliens. If we can stop that, we can save Voyager, and then we can go on and pursue the Equinox. But Janeway's not having it. She wants to go
chase Ransom immediately.
Yeah, so she has a vendetta to take care of with Ransom. So next we have Ransom, who is hiding on this in the atmosphere of this planet, and they're looking for some types of ore on the planet. They send out an away team. Meanwhile, the doctor is taking 709's memory engrams. He's having a little fun with calling. Singing to her about the connect, like the something connected to the something, you know.
Yeah.
He's got the little song going on, which is, it's funny, but still it's very disturbing because he's dismantling 709's, you know, thought process.
Yeah, it's very, very bizarre, very evil of the doctor. Like, ethics doesn't necessarily mean evil, guys.
Yeah, but still, then, like you said, why would he even listen to the captain?
Exactly.
Chakotay goes to Janeway's ready room, and he gave a written recommendation, and they have this conversation basically on what Janeway's wanting to go after Ransom instead of contacting the Ankari, who knows how to contact the alien boogers. If they talk to them, maybe they can figure a way to stop this a constant attack on the ship. Because the real issue is that Voyager is in jeopardy, and they need to stop that.
And she's like, "Nah, I've been reading up on Ransom. He likes hiding. Where could he hide? Oh, look, we found this planet where he could probably hide on. Let's go over there."
Well, they head over to the planet, and that's when they send an away team down. They send that, was it Vampire Alpha?
Yeah, they capture him, and they bring him back to the ship.
That's when this episode takes a strange turn, because Janeway decides that she's going to lower the shields in the area, the cargo bay that they're in, and going to let those aliens, boogers, come in.
We're going to play bad cop, booger cop.
Yeah, and she's going to let them in and do whatever they do to him. And Chakotay thinks this is the worst thing he could possibly do. And he can't believe that she's even doing this.
This seems like something he should be okay with. He was a member of the Maquis. The Maquis do terrible, terrible things to people. I just don't understand. Like, they're anti-Federation. Sure, he's been working with the Federation. But, I mean, they still wear the Maquis rank badges versus the Federation rank badges. They still have some Maquis in them. And, you know, generally the Maquis hate Federation, and he's like, oh no, don't hurt the guy. He's not bad. He'll just become a Vampire Alpha one day. That's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and the other thing is strange is that, so the crewman's been captured by Janeway, and he has a strong, he will side with his captain Ransom no matter what. And, like, at what point do you just say, like, well, what has Ransom done for me? You know, like honestly, like, what could you possibly?
You live on a ship that's fallen apart.
Yeah, and then you find Voyager. It looks great. Everything's working great, and yet, you know, you're still going to side with Ransom. So I don't know.
I don't know. Really, Chakotay puts an end to Janeway's fun,
Yeah, so he, and it's a very strange scene where he puts the shields back up. He obviously fires on that little hole that's being opened up by those aliens. He gets the crewman Lessing out, and he kind of just walks by Janeway, and Janeway just stands staring, glaring at him as he walks away with him.
What the fuck are you doing?
So, yeah, so that's a very strange, scene. And I kind of expected more fallout right after that, but Janeway just kind of lets them march away.
Well, Chakotay's like, hey, look, we need to find out where the people are who can contact them.
Yeah,
show us where they are, at least. Show us where the Ankari are.
Right. So anyways, that they go into this whole argument over what Janeway was doing. And they end up going after the Ankari ship anyways. They put it into a tractor beam, and they won't let the Ankari people go.
Well, actually, there's a little scuffle between the ships first, where Ransom's like, oh, we're going to dive into the atmosphere. Our ship is falling apart. It barely works. But they take it into the atmosphere. Voyager follows them, but then their shields start to go out, and so Voyager pulls away. And I'm like, that makes no sense. There's no way. Yeah,
wouldn't the Equinox's shields go first?
It's a broken up ship. It's barely holding itself together. This makes no sense on another scale. Like, why is the ship that's in better condition
falling apart?
You know, gonna blink first. It makes no sense. And I'm like, well, why even chase them at all? Just hover above them. They're gonna have to come back up at some point. Like, there's tactically, it made no sense for them to do what they were doing at all.
Right. No, it doesn't. And but so, like you said, so they, after that doesn't work, they decide to go after the Ankari ship. They put the Ankari ship onto a tractor beam. The Ankari's like, let us go. And Janeway's like, no.
I can't do that until you call your friends.
So the Ankari show how they summon the boogers. And after that, the Ankari can translate what the booger creatures are saying, and basically the booger creatures are pissed off the humans.
And they just fly around in circles to show their protest.
And Janeway's like, look, these aren't those humans aren't like all humans. We have a code of conduct we're supposed to adhere to. They have not done that. They're breaking all the rules.
We're going
to
punish them.
Yeah, we're going to put them in jail.
We'll spank them.
Take away their freedom. And but the Ankari, not the Ankari, but the boogers want the Equinox crew for themselves.
And so Janeway's like, sure, why not?
And even Chakotay's like, wait a second.
Oh, no, Tuvok. It's Tuvok at this point.
I am sorry, I said wrong. Yeah, Tuvok is like, what? What are you saying? So, but she's like, just trust me on this. So, again,
it'll all work out. It always does.
Janeway just keeps on taking this weird dive. Which we really haven't seen too often with her getting really nasty and angry with this vendetta. So she just wants to put down this crew of Equinox no matter what. So after they have that meeting with the boogers,
Captain Ransom is having second thoughts about the Doctor cracking into Seven's brain after she appears to him in his neck holodeck.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. So we didn't really get into this, but they have a weird way to have this optical stimulation. It's basically like TV without having a TV screen. And it just simulates through your eyes a certain scene or you know, whatever you want to see. So he's at this beach and he sees 7 of 9 standing at the beach. And
she's like, what are you doing here? And she's like, I'm hiding, just like you're hiding. She's like, I'm not hiding.
It's like, yeah, you kind of are. Yeah, this is another thing about Ransom gets really weird. He keeps on going to this oceanside holodeck or whatever you want to call it, program.
Neck holodeck.
Yeah, neck
holodeck. You just tape it onto your neck and it lets you see the ocean. Yay.
But anyways, so...
He didn't ask for the porn version, apparently.
Nah, but she shouldn't even be in there. That's a strange thing.
Because it's not supposed to have people. It's only supposed to be scenery.
Yeah, so he asks the Gilmore girl if that's there's supposed to be people in there. And she goes, no, there isn't. Why? He's like, no reason.
I'm just going nuts. He goes back and tells the Doctor, stop messing with her brain. It's fine. I don't need it.
And here comes the strange thing is that the captain, who everyone's so fiercely loyal to, decides that he has a change of heart and he's going to shut down this whole thing. His second command, Maxwell Burke, just decides to mutiny on his captain right away.
Mr. Meat Biscuits.
What?
BLT and Meat Biscuits.
So, yeah, Meat Biscuits, there you go. She called them Meat Biscuits.
Yeah.
She should have, or Meatball.
Meatball, yeah, the Meatball works too.
Yeah, so anyways, so they all pull their phasers on Captain Ransom, and he tells
them. They're loyal to him until this one moment, which makes no sense, but you know.
So they're going to, he was going to surrender the Equinox, but then he decides, because Burke takes over command, that he's not going to do that. While the Voyager's tracking down the Equinox, the Doctor makes contact with them, and he's going to send them their shield frequency so they can just fire onto Voyager without by blowing through their shields.
Keep an eye on the shield frequency because they're going to rotate it. Hey, maybe Riker should have tried that in Generations, just FYI.
Yeah, should have.
They go right through our shields. Maybe we should rotate the shield frequency? I can't believe Voyager got something right over Star Trek Next Generation, people. Come on.
Well, not just that, but how does the Doctor send out these messages to the Equinox?
With nobody noticing.
Tuvok noticing that they're sending a message to them. Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Speaking of things that don't make sense, midway through the battle, the Doctor beams over with Seven. And he's back to his old self, and he deletes the Equinox Doctor and shuts down the ability to shoot through the Voyager shields.
That's right. Just before all that happens, the Gilmore girl takes the captain, and then she's like, I'm really on your side, Captain.
I'm with you. This guy's crazy. I want to live on Voyager. It's so much nicer.
Oh, my God.
I get PTSD from the holodeck. I mean, from the turbo shaft, but that's better than staying here.
So, again, strangely enough, Ransom calls Jane. Way without his second command
noticing.
Burke noticing that says, hey, look, they're trying to take over the Equinox from me. They're mutinied on me. But I want you to do is beam over everybody and take them custody, and I'll take over the ship from there. And Janeway agrees. Strangely enough, she believes him. I would be like, I don't believe you at all.
Especially after her vendetta and how angry she's been the entire time. She just instantly somehow doesn't think it's a trap or anything. She's like, yeah, I'll believe you now. Just as a side note, some point earlier, Janeway had relieved Chakotay of duty.
Yeah, because he just keeps disagreeing with her.
Stop trying to torture people. Fine, go to your quarters. Don't come out until I call for you.
Don't talk to me anymore. Basically, during the fight between the Equinox and Voyager, Voyager damages the Equinox's one of their nacelles pretty badly. And after they beam over most of the crew, Captain Ransom takes control of the ship and decides he's going to just take the ship out of range, and the ship's going to explode. And he's like,
to beam me over. I'm like, okay, wouldn't the Voyager be in better state to get away, since it's got two functioning nacelles? Just we'll come over and beam you up and then run away. And then we've got faster warp than you too, just FYI. Just lots of reasons why what he says makes no sense.
Well, so Ransom blows up with the ship,
puts his neck holodeck on so he can see some pretty ocean before he dies.
Yeah, and that's another thing. So he just likes to keep on being completely distracted to where he is. That's the strange thing about
it's just game. Like, okay, I think the engine's on. I'll just look at the waves one last time.
Exactly. It's so bizarre. So anyways, so they blow up, and then Janeway takes the crew from Equinox. He strips them of their rank and tell them they're crewmen of Voyager, their privileges are limited, and they're going to be under close supervision until she deems that they don't need it anymore.
You're going to go into our most damaged part of the ship and live like you've been living on the Equinox. In filth and squalor.
You're going to be scrubbing plasma conduits.
With your teeth.
That's right. Gnawing on it. Next, we get on the bridge, Chakotay and Janeway have a little, like, kiss and makeup session, how he's going to bring she's going to bring croutons to Chakotay's salad.
Mm.
Anyways.
And they find the plaque of the Voyager knocked off. In all these years, it's never fallen off before.
Someone better get these self-sealing stem bolts and fix these.
Exactly, the self-sealing stem bolts. How come these things aren't attached to the side of the ship? Are they hung like a pitcher? They're just like, there's like a string behind it, and it just hangs on a little nub that sticks out of the wall. Like, how does this thing fall off so easily? And they just can hang it. Is it magnets? I don't know. What's why is it not bolted on with a self-sealing stem bolt?
That's right. And so Chakotay suggests they put it back where it belongs, mirroring the conversation that Janeway had with Ransom earlier on the Equinox.
That we just glazed over because it wasn't important.
Well, and then Janeway has this like misty eye look as the show ends. So that's the end of the episode, two apart episodes.
We also have the Doctor apologize to Seven.
Oh, right, yeah, and they go into, like...
You, me, and a tuning fork. I'm going to stick it in my bum until it comes out my mouth the right way. Boing.
All right, Dave, Equinox Part 1 and 2 of Voyager, what is your takeaways and thoughts about this?
It's an episode with lots of holes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this should have been dragged out for, like, a multiple... lots of booger-filled holes. I feel like this should have been a longer arc.
Yeah.
Instead of just two episodes.
It would have been more interesting, too.
Yeah, we could have gotten to know the characters. Like, it would have been nice. They're fighting the aliens, but then they don't turn on the Voyager until, like, do, like, two episodes before the season's over, and then two after. Kind of, like, do a big story arc. Because we could have gotten some more information on the caretaker. You know, it's that thing that was just glossed over. I don't know. I just didn't feel like we had enough time to feel for Captain Ransom or any of his crew at all.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some conversations between Chakotay and Janeway in private, telling us why they feel the way they do, that make more sense. Because Chakotay's Maquis, like I said earlier, I don't see why he'd be why these tactics are so, you know, offensive to him. He was in the Maquis. I'm sure he's done much worse things to other people. It just,
yeah.
It's the character of Chakotay just doesn't make sense. And maybe he's come a long way since, you know, being under Federation ideals for 5 years or 6 years with Janeway so far in Voyager. But still, it's just I don't understand how he's gotten so goody two shoes when he was supposed to be a hard ass before.
I just think that Chakotay left, you know, to join the Maquis because he felt ethically that he had to do something about, you know, what was going on in that part of the galaxy, that he felt that he had to stand up and that the Federation wasn't. Didn't mean that he didn't have any ethics. It just meant that he was going to circumvent the Starfleet and the Federation because he didn't feel like they had this back. So
that's true. But I'm just saying from like the Maquis we have seen before, they're not the nicest people and they do underhanded things.
Well, and then the other side of it is that, like you bring up, is like, shouldn't Janeway be the one with the higher ethical standards?
I mean, you'd think so.
And normally she actually is. I mean, this I thought was a huge departure of Janeway's character.
Absolutely. You know,
like, she just seemed to get like worse and worse. And I'm like, where the hell is this all this coming from? She just all of a sudden she's going to go off the rails because of, you know, some guy's an asshole.
It's like she's upset about Ransom for being Ransom, but she's not upset enough to the point where she's not going to stoop to his level. Because she stoops to his level. She stoops below his level, actually, I think, Captain Ransom.
Well, and it's obviously that last scene where, you know, they're putting the plaque up. She sees maybe part of herself, you know, from Ransom. Like, she kind of likes, like, oh, I could be the same person, the same type of captain, if I'm not careful.
I want to know how the Doctor got fixed. The Doctor just comes back over and he's doing the right thing. And this is how the Doctor should have been anyway. Even with his ethical subroutines erased, doesn't mean he can't make decisions unless they're tied into his decision making thing. But apparently he can make his own decisions because he goes back to Voyager of his own volition and deletes the Doctor.
It'd be funny if they're on the holodeck later on with 7 and 9 and he basically subdues her and then takes away her brain engrams just like he was originally ordered. He never changed. He's like, wait, I had never finished the job.
I never finished it. I can do it now. I mean, with his ethical subroutines deleted, he should be. I just, nothing makes sense. Like, the science is so bad. when it comes to the doctor and what he's doing and why he's doing it.
Well, that's the other thing. So the Equinox doctor puts himself over onto the Voyager, and then he keeps the doctor on this one. Isn't the program originally from Voyager, and doesn't the mobile transmitter just like amplify his beam so he can go anywhere?
I think he just downloads himself, like his whole matrix downloads into the mobile emitter.
That's a pretty small mobile emitter.
Oh, it's based on 29th century technology, which is why it's so small.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Still crazy. But then
what about you? What was your takeaway from Equinox 1 and 2?
Well, first of all, after Equinox Part 2, you know, Chakotay and Janeway having this huge spat, it never resurfaced. It should have been like an ongoing thing. I really thought this should have been something that should maybe drive a deeper wedge into the two characters. But in the end of it, it's like,
it's got to reset and be perfect. I was actually reading on the Memory Alpha. I think this is one of the first episodes Ronald D. Moore worked on. And the Memory Alpha talks about he was writing in the margins when he saw how the script turned out. He was saying, don't do this. This is not right. This makes no sense. This is a total betrayal to the audience to have Chakotay and Janeway make up like nothing ever happened at the end of this episode. He's totally right.
And they could have maybe not made it like severe, but they could have been like they had, you know, maybe the next, you know, 6-7 episodes, they're constantly bickering or fighting over what happened before. It didn't have to be over the top, but it could have been that there was still something going on there. I just feel like, you know, that what Janeway did was so against her character and what she's supposed to uphold. I mean, we've seen this happen here and there between different characters. I mean, we've seen Picard get kind of wacky in First Contact. Kirk obviously has gone off the rails more than once. And Sisko and Pale Moonlight, definitely takes matters into his own hands. But Janeway, for the most part, I mean, I know she, you know, goofs up here and there, but we've never seen her character of her ethics change terribly.
She has broken the prime directive at least a couple of times at this point. So her ethics do change.
Breaking the prime directive is one thing, but also like literally
going personal to, like, ethics.
Letting that Noah Lessing, crewman Noah Lessing, getting threatened.
Possibly killed or sort of tortured.
Yeah, it just seemed kind of odd. And all of a sudden her fixation with this vendetta against the Equinox and Captain Ransom seems like out of left field. I mean, why did this manifest itself all of a sudden? Was it because she saw like a kindred spirit in Ransom and thought maybe, you know, that they were going to have this great relationship and it didn't work out, and then she was just super pissed?
I guess maybe.
It just blows my mind. It just doesn't make a lot of freaking sense to me. And then after watching both of these, really the biggest thing that made me think about was, I don't know if you ever read the original book by Joseph Conrad, Heart of Darkness. It's basically it's a story. It's a very short novella. It's about a story about this guy who goes into the Belgian Congo. I think it's Belgian Congo, but he goes up this river for this ivory trade to find this guy named Kurtz, and who's gone kind of rogue. And he's supposed to the company's looking for him. They use him to get the ivory, you know, to the coast. So this Kurtz kind of just has disappeared, and he's supposed to go find him. And while he's doing that up the Congo River, he goes deeper and deeper into Africa, and he comes into all these tribes, and you know, he just seems to get more and more crazier. And by the time he gets to this guy named Kurtz, Kurtz has gone completely tribal, and he's a complete maniac. He's like, he's gone off the rails.
This sounds familiar.
The biggest thing is the adaptation of this was Apocalypse Now, which took place in Vietnam. So if you've seen, it's a wonderful film, and if you haven't seen, you should definitely see Apocalypse Now. But made me think that Ransom is the same type. He's this Kurtz character who's been gone for all these years. He's deep in unknown territory, and without the rule of law, and that's the whole point of the Heart of Darkness, without the rule of law, would mankind just go completely mad and act like a bunch of savages?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I thought about most of anything, was that Janeway has kept order on her ship by keeping the rule of law, where Captain Ransom has totally, like, they're using, talking to each other on first name basis.
Oh, yeah, like the it's chain of command is broken down.
Yeah, so he's slowly, everything's broken down, and it's become more of a, you know, like, hey, we're just a bunch of buddies flying through space, and could they get... I don't know. That's the first thing that really popped up to me. And it's interesting that you'd see that this didn't happen with Voyager. Like, nobody really went too crazy, you know? They've been gone for 5 years. There's really nobody to hold them into check.
Except for Janeway's Janewayisms.
Yeah,
but the Federation Code of Law. I mean, like, it's kind of like a mirror to Janeway, I guess, where it's like, well, we could have been that way, but we didn't go that way.
Oh, absolutely, and that's what I think. I mean, and it sounds like the Equinox had a little bit of a worse of a – they didn't get a fair shake. It seems like Voyager didn't get as bad of cards dealt to them. I mean, they have a little better of a ship. The crew was a little more robust, and they didn't run into as many problems right off the bat.
But if Voyager was realistic, the Voyager really should have looked like the Equinox, in all honesty, especially after that Hirogen three-parter.
We talked about that.
It just so many things with Voyager. Like, it should have been like a hodgepodge of different alien technologies, you know, by this point, easily. By as many times as it gets messed up and all the battles they get into. Like, for Voyager to be as pristine as it looks isn't super realistic, and especially next to the Equinox. And they keep talking, oh, the Voyager is so much nicer. How?
Yeah.
And they never really explain it. It just... Voyager perfectly resets at the end of each episode. It's just kind of, unless it's a two-parter, just perfectly resets. And we're just like, eh.
Yeah.
There's so much with Voyager that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But Kevin Yearwood brought this episode up to me because he thought that Lorca's treatment of the tardigrade was similar to how Captain Ransom was with the booger creatures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you feel that it is a similar... type of captain between Lorca and Ransom?
The only difference really is that, I mean, I think it's the same premise, but I think Ransom, I don't think if Ransom was back in Federation space and he could, you know, go to the next star base and, or next planet with that at Federation outposts or whatever, I don't think he would ever do any of this stuff. Because Ransom's been out there for 5 years, he's lost so much crew, he has no support whatsoever. He feels like he's cornered and he has to do something to get his crew home. And he's willing to cut the corners and not hold to any kind of ethical behavior by taking the booger creatures and just, you know, killing them and experimenting on their biomass or whatever they with their antimatter. Where Lorca... he is on a prize ship. He has all support of the Federation, and yet he continues to undercut everything about him, about his ethics, you know, or Federation or Starfleet ethics.
Well, the thing with Lorca is, I don't think they're alike at all. Lorca is, like you said, he's acting under complete governance of the Federation. They gave him a blank check, a blank slate. To do what you need to do to finish the war.
Mm-hmm.
He is using that to the best of his ability, and he's bending the rules because he has been allowed to. Or Ransom, he broke the rules because he didn't have anyone to tell him to correct him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I think Lorca, once things get found out, however Discovery ends up with Lorca in the end, is Lorca probably is going to be relieved of duty at some point, or something's going to happen to that nature.
Or killed.
Or killed, yeah. But my point is that Ransom's out in the middle of nowhere. You know, nobody's telling him to, you know, he has to do whatever he has to do to survive. I am not saying what he's doing is right by any stretch of the imagination, but you kind of feel like Ransom has maybe not a, maybe not that's the right way to do it, but you can't totally hate on him for doing what he did. You know, I think he's got sort of he wants the best for his crew, and he wants to do whatever he can for his crew.
Well, I don't hate on Ransom. I feel like Ransom is a more realistic portrayal of what would happen versus Voyager and Janeway. I feel like his situation is way more realistic than hers.
Right, but here's my beef with Ransom in the end, is that Janeway is a far superior character, and that's the reason why we have a show based on Voyager and not on Equinox. That's the real issue I come across, and that's one of the biggest issues I think I've been having with Discovery's character and ethical side, is that while it's interesting to see what happens with Lorca, Lorca is... he should be a Starfleet captain. He should be the best of the best. You know, you don't become Starfleet captain just because, you know, you just race through the rank and you're like, maybe you'll be okay. No, Janeway kicks ass. I mean, she's good at everything. And, you know, she knows the technical side. She knows, you know, how to, you know, be ethical. And she knows how to, you know, treat her crew properly. I mean, it's a complete package. And they're groomed for that too, obviously. It doesn't just happen. And that's the issue I have with Lorca. Lorca shouldn't be like that at all. I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, it's happened more than once in all of the series. You know, going back to even TOS, there's plenty of captains that have gone off the rails and just did whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, but I mean,
I like Lorca way better than Ransom as characters. I feel like Ransom's desperate because he's away. I don't feel like Lorca's desperate. I feel like he's totally calculating everything he has to do. And Lorca didn't ever kill anything. I mean, he didn't kill the tardigrade. The tardigrade's still alive and running around through space.
Yeah, but he's done.
We didn't know the tardigrade was going to go free when we were originally having this conversation on Facebook with Kevin. We thought that maybe the tardigrade would die.
Sure.
And then that's why we're making this connection to Captain Ransom. Or, I mean, if they... But, you know, Lorca never killed the tardigrade, so...
Like, no, he didn't kill the tardigrade, but he did use the tardigrade for his own purposes, imprisoning it. He also, you know, genetically had Stamets altered.
Stamets chose that himself, though.
Yes, but you're the captain, and you have to shut that down.
Well, no, he was on the Klingon ship. He couldn't shut it down.
Was he?
Yeah, that's the episode Choose Your Pain, where he injects himself because they think the tardigrade's going to go and Saru has to save the captain.
True, but that may be true. But then, you know, Lorca didn't do anything afterward. He just allows Stamets.
He can't ungenetically modify him.
But he could stop the whole thing and shut it down. That's a part where you have to say this is not allowed. You know, it's your duty as the captain to hold that line at some point. You have to hold that line. Even if you are in Federation space, you're out there and you have to make some kind of rule of law. If you're not the one who's doing, who will do it? You know, and that's my biggest issue, is that Lorca is he's a very interesting, well-written character. And I am interested to see everything that's going to happen with Discovery. But, you know, he's not a good person. And the same thing with Ransom. I guess I feel for Ransom more than I feel for Lorca. Ransom is just scrounging whatever he can do. And yes, killing the booger creatures is a terrible thing for him to do, but he's just doing it so he can get his crew home.
Yeah, Ransom is definitely more sympathetic, I think. I don't feel any sympathy for Lorca, but Lorca's written better. He's so much more compelling to watch because he's so unflinching in his... ethics or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing, is that so ethically, I think we tune in. I mean, that's the same thing if it's Star Trek, if it's you know, a superhero movie or comic book or anything else. Normally, we gravitate to heroes that have some kind of ethical standard that we want to see in ourselves and other people. So, if it's Superman or Batman or Kirk or Sisko or Janeway, we go to them for these shows to kind of like give us that beacon to go towards. And that's what's important. And that's the thing, is like Lorca's not giving us that beacon. Ransom's not doing that. I mean, yes, Janeway has made mistakes. And you know, God, you know, even Superman has made mistakes in the past. So, I mean, these are all things that obviously you can argue, but they're always trying their best to be the most ethical and morally upright you know, characters.
I think that's what makes Lorca so compelling to watch, is because he's not like any of the captains that have been a main captain in Star Trek before. That's what makes him compelling to watch. And then if he has a redemption arc, that'll be interesting as well.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fun to see, for sure. I don't really know if any of that will get translated with this, with Discovery. And, you know, I'm curious to see how that all ends up.
Yeah, as much as I've been enjoying Discovery, the 15-episode arcs aren't going to do it any favors as far as her storytelling goes, because, you know, we're not getting a whole lot of background characters. We haven't had one captain's log. The main cast seems pretty small. I mean, there's lots of characters, but, I mean, you only spend time with only a handful of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've gotten, you know, behind the scenes talk about how the Klingons are bald because their ridges have some kind of sensors in them that make them more vicious killers or whatever they are. But none of this stuff has been discussed in canon. Mm-hmm. Like, on the episodes, there's not enough time to discuss any of this stuff, which I'm scared they're just going to gloss over so much stuff. We still don't have a really good idea how the spore drive works, because they only talked about it a little bit in Contexts for Kings whenever they're flying over to the Glen. And then they haven't talked about the science behind it since.
Yeah,
it's just like there's so much stuff I want to know, and they're not talking about any of the science or the biology and any of this other stuff that Star Trek usually has the luxury of talking about, because they're 20 something, you know, episode seasons. Now with 15 episodes, we're not getting all the little nuances that we're used to getting in Star Trek, which is a little bit sad.
It is, but yeah, so I guess we'll just have to see how Discovery unfolds. But I do think there's a little bit of difference between Lorca and Ransom. I just think Lorca is an intrinsically a bad ethical person. How he ever became captain is a mystery to me, where Ransom seems like he was a good captain and he just, you know, he'd fallen from grace kind of thing.
Yeah, lost his way. Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, maybe Lorca fell from grace, too. I mean, the way Admiral Cornwell talked to him after, you know, he pulled the phaser on her. So maybe he was a good person once. Or maybe he's a mirror version of himself. I mean, there's speculation about that, too, that he's not even the real Lorca. He might be a mirror Lorca.
And that's a possibility, too. I mean, but that's the biggest issue I have, is just that I don't think Lorca is... Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's a compelling character to watch, but he's obviously not a good person. So.
Oh, no, definitely not. Definitely.
But yeah, so Ransom, interesting. And I think you're right. I think if we would have extended this story arc maybe 5 episodes and just had the Equinox along with Voyager for a little bit longer, and you got like more interaction with the crew, and maybe, you know, like maybe Chakotay and the Gilmore girl fall in love a little bit.
That would have been interesting.
I mean, who knows? I mean, it just would have been cool to see. But it just seems like it was so packed. And strangely enough, these 2 episodes, there's a lot that happens, you know, and we get it's a very dense story. There's a lot happening. It is exciting. I just think this could have been an awesome 2-parter, and I just think it fell just fell short on a lot of small things.
It should have been an awesome 4-parter, a 4 or 5-parter. The fact that it was only 2, like so much stuff had to get cut out, like the Doctor, all the stuff with the Doctor makes no sense. Like how did he get back to Voyager, and how did he get back to normal all of a sudden? Like, it just, nothing made sense there. Like, I when I watched it the first time when Kevin had mentioned it to me, I was like, wait, did I miss something? And then rewatching it again the other day, I was like, no, he just showed up. It was better somehow.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and there's a lot of cool parts to it. I just wish they would have spent a little more time on some of the details. I just think, and the Doctor stuff always seems to become magic all the time. You know, I wish they would figure that out a little better. But you know, it's definitely a 2 good parter for Voyager. It's not something I would tell somebody not to watch.
Yeah, it's a decent 2-parter, but it's no Year of Hell. It's no Killing Game. Those two are really good 2-parters. But a Killing Game also has some of the same issues as this episode, where they just did too much in too little time, and we really wish there was some more explanation to it.
Yeah, the things get pushed in, and then all of a sudden you're just like left with a lot of questions.
I feel like Voyager does that more than the other series. I feel like the other series handled their 2-parters a lot better than Voyager did in general.
Yeah, and it's almost like Voyager... You could actually tell you the truth. You could probably make this into a movie. It would be much more interesting as a movie.
Oh, yeah. They could do a lot better job with it, I think.
So
It's a shame Deep Space Nine and Voyager never got their own films.
Yeah, would have been cool. At least like a one-shot film would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, because Deep Space Nine definitely needs some wrap-up after that last episode.
You know what would be cool is instead of that last episode for Voyager, like make that the movie, how they get home. That would have been really exciting.
Oh, that would have been great. To like find out how they get home, the conclusion to Voyager on the silver screen. And maybe they could have actually spent some time back home in the movie instead of just fireworks. Okay, it's over now.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's it? Really?
That's all I
can. We don't see them interact with anyone from back home. It's just they fly into the Golden Gate Bridge and fireworks.
Yeah. I don't know. That's all we got. Well, it was a good episode. I did enjoy talking about it.
Absolutely. So good. I love how it kind of like, you know, tied into Discovery a little bit too, so we can bring in some Discovery discussion because it feels like it's been such a long time since the new Discovery episode's been on. It's only been a couple weeks.
It's only been a couple weeks.
And then it's the wait's going to be even worse in between seasons one and two. Oh my goodness. It's going to be, it's going to be painful. Yeah.
We got a long time between seasons, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to, theoretically, a year between the end of season one and the beginning of season two.
Wow.
Theoretically.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Hopefully it'll be sooner, but I think they're going long because the first season got pushed back so many times. And I think they don't want to get our hopes up and, you know, for us waiting another, like, you know, a year on top of the original release date.
Gotcha. That's crazy.
Absolutely. Anything else about Equinox 1 and 2?
I just wish it was written just a little tighter. I think it could have been a freaking amazing two-parter, and I think, like we've pointed out a couple things, they fell a little short.
Yeah, it's a decent two-parter, but it had the potential of being an amazing two-parter, and that's the crux of it all. It had a lot of great stuff, great ideas. It just, with the way Voyager works a lot of the times, it's just not implemented as well as we would have hoped it would have been.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's true.
Well, you can find us online at Synthaholics.com. All our music is provided by Warp 11. Our intro is done by Dave Wilkes. The show you can find at Synthaholics.com. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can find us at Synthaholic Duo. Personally, I'm at Dave_J_Duncan.
I'm at Blackbird2004.
We have a YouTube page, which you may or may not know about. We'd love it if you would also take a look at that. Just type in Synthaholics into YouTube and we should come right up. We do a weekly drink video, and I've been working on a new specifically for YouTube series talking about Star Trek Discovery a little bit, looking back on the first 9 episodes as they are the first chapter of Discovery, and looking at them, you know, looking back on them, see if we can figure out anything new now that we've seen the entire first chapter. And the first episode of that is up online right now.
Absolutely. It's fun discussion.
Oh, Jen, the Klingon Pop Warrior, she joins me on that episode.
Yeah, so that's cool. You get her back and have her Klingon insights.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. Also, if you have a chance, please go to Apple iTunes and rate and review us, preferably 5 stars, and say a nice little comment. Helps us get seen by more people if you do that. And if you have a chance, if you have a little money you could throw our way, if you could go on to our Patreon / Synthaholics, you could donate some money towards our show. Our show is obviously free, but if you have a little extra cash that you could help us, $1 a month, it's not a lot to ask for everything we've been giving to you for Voyager and for Discovery and all the other Star Trek commentary we put out there for you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you, Kevin, for suggesting us talk about this episode. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to have, you know, feedback and requests for talking about certain topics. So we really appreciate that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, again, thank you all for listening. Live long and prosper. One and all. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.